Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Brian Baldinger on Bonte, Steiny, and Guru. Earlier today, Brian Baldinger talked about how good Kittle is, and he can even be better.
Well, I think you can always run just – I think anybody can always work on the route running. You know, whether it's – you know, you watch some of these, you know, veteran players run routes in the league, and they just change speed so well. You know, they don't always sprint on every single route. Sometimes they lull you to sleep, and then they separate. I mean, there's just always nuances of the game, whether it's just head fakes or how you plant and how you – you know, you come out of your breaks, you know, cleaner or better or back to the ball better and give, you know, Jimmy G, you know, a better target to throw the ball. I think you can always do those kind of things. I don't think there's any phase of the game that George looks at right now and go, I got this mastered. No, I think it just starts with that. Like, I haven't mastered anything yet. I'm an improving, ascending player. And I think when you have that mindset, you always find ways to improve. Larry Bird always did. Michael Jordan always did. Magic Johnson developed a junior sky hook one year. You know, I mean, like, you can always, I'm just using basketball references, but I don't think that Steph Curry feels like he's a finished product.
No doubt.
Yeah, and I think that George is that type of person.
Look, in sports, it's real simple. You're either getting better or you're getting worse. There's no such thing as staying the same. There isn't. So George Kittle can get better. And that is something else. I mean, when you think about that, Brian Baldinger's right. 888-957-9570. Who do you think got the better end of the deal? She looked to the stars. She found answers. Andrea, the astrologer. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. What's going on?
Yeah, I would have to say George Kittle got the better end of the deal. I looked at his chart, October 9th, 1993, and Mars is a crucial planet for an athlete. It rules energy.
Well, by the way, so what is he? Was he Capricorn? What is he,
Capricorn? Mars will be opposing his Mars October through April, which can be an injury-prone cycle. And curiously, Jimmy G had the same transit when he had, I believe it was the ACL injury. So, you know, we have to manage our expectations here because this is a time when he's more restless and impatient, but it can also be mishaps and upsets.
Well, who isn't? It's a pandemic. We're all restless and impatient. Take that to Mars and back again.
Right. He'll be even more so in terms of assertiveness. So more injury prone in that way, and he might not consider the consequences.
Andrea, what is his sign? What's his sign?
Pardon me?
What's his sign?
Oh, he's a Libra, and you were saying some very positive Libra qualities, you know, easygoing, gregarious, diplomatic, kind of, you know, harmonious for a big football player. He does have that nice part of his personality. So we don't want to, you know, not remember the basic sun sign personality. He does have a very pleasing, cooperative quality.
Hold on one second, Andrea. Ray, what's your sign?
Stop.
What's your sign, Ray? I can look it up.
That is my sign.
I can look it up.
Right of way.
What's your sign?
That would reveal my birthday, and I don't want anybody to.
It wouldn't reveal your birthday. It would reveal your birth month. Final time. What's your sign?
Okay. Cancer.
Well, I think I told you that last time. And happy belated birthday, Ray.
There you go. That was recently Ray's birthday.
See, that's why we didn't want to do that.
See, but what does cancer mean, besides the obvious?
You must be talking
crab.
About it, because I have
no idea. It kind of has a lot of emotions, but a tough shell on the outside. So there's a protective kind of domestic quality there. But it can, you know, kind of wax and wane like the moon, can be a little moody, a little touchy. But it's very psychic. It's very empathetic. And it's maternal, kind of cares about the underdog and
you lost
kind of domestic
there, for sure.
Food family feel.
Kolsky, what's your sign? Kolsky, what's your sign?
I don't mind giving you my birthday. I never remember my sign. It's September 1st.
September 1st. What's that mean, Andrea?
Virgo. How can you not remember that? No problem.
I have a bad memory.
Welcome to the Virgo Club.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, Virgo's detailed, analytical, kind of a little critical of themselves, high standards, but very meticulous, organized, certainly, efficient, technical, very dutiful, you know, likes to do the job, be of service, health conscious, certainly to some degree, wanting to take care of their health. So can be a bit of a workaholic. I will say that personally and professionally. I don't know if you, come across that, but yeah, we definitely tend to, burn the midnight oil, but
Andrea,
really
we
want
learned
to
about
assertive.
Each other. This is a great call. We learned about each other. Ray, soft on the inside, hard exterior.
Yes.
Matt,
yep.
Complicated, nuanced, tinkerer of all things. And just to wrap it up here, Aries, God of War, makes a lot of sense if you think about it. 888-957-9570. What did you think? Who was the winner of the George Kittle deal? Andrea,
we were all winners from Andrea's phone call, that's for sure.
Everyone wins. Everyone wins. And here's the one thing I can guarantee you, Ray. Not a single person cares that it was your birthday. No one. No presents are coming your way.
I didn't care that it was my birthday.
I got to tell you, we're all done caring about birthdays.
And I'm going to say one other thing. I'm waiting for somebody to just come out and just say, oh, this is your star sign. That means you're an unremitting turd. In all ways, you're just an awful human being. They always come up with these nonsensical, oh, he has this, but he also has that. It just, he has these three things that you'd hate about him, but he has these four secret things, too. It's not, God, I hate it.
People are complicated, just, Ray.
They
have multiple layers.
You're either a jackwagon or you're not.
See,
it's
I know
no
you don't
more
think that way. You're the king
that.
Of subtlety. You love subtlety.
I love subtlety, but not, this is just, they're saying all the human traits you can have. So that they can go, I got that one. You know, yes, Virgos tend to have three heads, you know, but their necks are short. Except for the ones that only have one head, but they have a long neck. Great, thanks. That was helpful.
I'm one of the one-headed Virgos.
It's so clear how little you really care about it, Ray. You haven't gotten that fired up about anything.
I'm trying to fake it.
Hey, what would be the astrological sign of a 5 overtime hockey game in Toronto?
A middle finger
there
in
you
your
go.
Eye.
There you go. By the way, Columbus wins today. That series is tied.
Yeah. We got after some... giving up the first goal, which is usually the sign of a team that's about to lay down.
Speaking of first goals, we just had one in the Chicago Vegas game.
Oh, it didn't sound like it went the Blackhawks way.
No, it did not.
If I can pick
it. It went between Corey Crawford's legs.
Today, before the show started, I sacrificed 3 chickens, deboned them. I've been looking at the chicken bones all day. Vegas is the better hockey team, according to my chicken bones. 888-957-9570. 3 other NFL stories from today. Travis Kelce, obviously, is one of them. That extension done with Kansas City, 4 years, $57.25 million. Travis Kelce is going to be in Kansas City through the 2025 season. The Buffalo Bills signed their blindside tackle, Deion Dawkins, to a 4-year, $60 million deal with 34 guaranteed. He's very good, but he plays in Buffalo, so you probably don't know much about him. He got paid today. Wings are on him. This is the story that I wanted to get to. I saved the best for last. Today, guys, Seattle cut a rookie cornerback named Kemba Sivarand. Kemba Sivarand is the
name.
Your
guess is as good as mine.
He was caught on video trying to sneak a woman into the team hotel. She was wearing Seahawks gear in a terrible attempt to disguise her as a player or as a member of the staff. Tom Pelissero had the story first. Look, all I'm going to tell you is that when you're an undrafted rookie or you're the first pick in the NFL draft in the age of COVID, you will not be long for anyone's roster trying to sneak people in to the team hotel. I mean, this is, I mean, Reuben Foster got caught a few years ago sneaking a woman into a team hotel, or there might have been a little domestic violence involved. No one really knows. Gray area, who knows? But it was, are you kidding me? You are an undrafted rookie trying to make a team, and yet you're looking to import a little conjugal visit? I don't want to tell you that I know for a fact you're an idiot, but I know for a fact, however you say your name, Kemah Sivarand, you're an idiot. I mean, that's the chances of being able to sneak women into a hotel with an NFL career grow greatly. Without it, shrinks infinitely. Good luck, buddy. You're going to need it.
Yeah, undrafted, that's where you could stop the sentence.
Yep.
So undrafted has no leverage at all. Now, if it was Russell Wilson trying to sneak his wife in, that would be an interesting discussion. Because I'm sure that the Seahawks would bend over backwards to try to figure out a way that that's not a violation. And I'm only using him as a hypothetical because he is the most important Seahawk by a factor of about five.
Lucas, you got to say those things on the air if you're going to say them. But Sierra, I think that actually, the thing about that is, right, they'd have to do something. But Ray's obviously right that you're not cutting Russell Wilson over this. As an undrafted player, how on earth could you do this? That could literally be the end of your career. Who knows if any team will take a chance on you again if this is the only thing they know about you.
Never mind that. How are you planning to get her out? Getting her in is relatively easy, and that was very difficult. Getting her out, I mean, what are you planning to sneak her out at 3:30?
Got to bring her down to the laundry room, put her in one of those bins, and like sneak her out like you're trying to prison
she's
break.
She's going to dive down the laundry chute from the floor you're on, leave through the basement.
I mean, the only way this could have worked if Sivarand had given her about six pieces of gum and said, oh, no, it's Coach Carroll.
Here's what I want to know. I mean, this is why I'm in little J journalism, not capital J journalism. How long was she there? Like, did they know that the guy was going to get cut so they at least let her in up to the dude's room for the deed? Like, did he at least get to sit down and play a game of a crazy eights with her? You know what I mean? Like,
she never got through the lobby.
Yeah, look, I mean, consider the headline. Undrafted free agent infects entire football team.
Yeah, he definitely didn't have his own suite, right? He's got to be sharing a room with someone.
Oh, you would have thought, but I don't know what their living situation. In fact, they probably aren't sharing rooms because
of probably not.
You might be right. Except he was trying.
But even at that.
He's trying
even
to.
At that, yeah. You know, and what is it? Gear? Would he outfit her in full pads? I mean, what are we talking?
I'm sure it was just like a sweatsuit or something, but I don't believe the Seahawks have any lady coaches that she could have been pretending to be.
Wouldn't have been great if they got her like a Motorola headset and like a
tablet.
A Microsoft tablet to walk through. 888-957-9570. If you were a rookie free agent, how would you sneak a girl into a hotel in the age of COVID? We'd love to hear from you. 888-957-9570. We are brought to you by Fix Auto Collision Centers. A traffic accident can be a real headache, so let Fix Auto Collision Centers help. Fix Auto has locations throughout the Bay Area. Call 1-800-INFO-FIX to find the location nearest you. Fix Auto, the first words that should come to your mind after an accident. 888-957-9570. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
It didn't take long for George Kittle's contract to have a little bit of a ripple effect in the NFL. Travis Kelce gets extended to a much better number. an annual average salary right after George Kittle agrees to his record-setting tight end money. It is a five-year, $75 million deal. Welcome back, Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game. As big of news as it is for the 49ers and Kittle specifically, that is one man, one contract, one team. There is another conversation in football, college football, happening today that could have a much bigger ramification, not just one man, one team, but it could be every kid on every team in the ACC. We do not know what is about to happen, but apparently presidents, all the campus presidents in the ACC are having what they're calling a final meeting about COVID-19 today. And there's been a lot of bluster that the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 are going to go their own way, Stevie Nicks. But that could change. And the reason why it might change is because now more Pac-12 presidents are coming forward with the reservations that they saw that made them say it's time to walk away from the football season. With Ray Ratto and Matt Kolsky. Guys, you guys are going to like this. I just saw this. The Pac-12, of course, called off football this season. The SEC has not asked Oregon State's president, F. King Alexander, asked what the Pac-12 is seeing that the SEC is not seeing. His quote is, "I think probably reality." That's his quote. The president of Oregon State said that the biggest problem the SEC is having making this decision is reality. I wanted to give you that, and then I got something else for you. But that's kind of a nice way to land it, I think.
Well, the problem, though, is, I mean, even though he is probably the most influential of the presidents in the Pac-12 and has been for a while, that's the kind of thing that, frankly, would irritate a president from the ACC. Because, oh, you're going to tell us that we're not seeing reality? I think that's one he could have held on to for a couple of days if he wanted to see the ACC maybe change its mind. I mean, I get his candor, and we all like candor, but tactically, I'm not sure it was a great idea.
What tactic? I don't understand. What does he care about whether they do that? I
think he cares about it because if this turns out to fracture the Power Five, the conference that is going to be most isolated and most harmed is probably the Pac-12.
And you think him pointing out that they're ignoring reality is going to somehow increase the fissure?
No, I think what it's going to do is it's going to embolden some presidents who were either leaning toward having football in the ACC or sort of not sure quite yet, that one or two of them, and maybe that's all that matters, would just say, you know what, I'm not going to get lectured by a guy from Corvallis, Oregon. I don't know. I mean, I don't understand what college football is trying to do to itself, but I say all possibilities are in play, which is why, you know, he could have bit his tongue for 2 days.
I got to say, if him saying that would make them ignore reality further, all the more reason he should say it, because these guys are – there's – in no way can he take responsibility for these other morons' bad decisions.
Yeah,
no matter what he says, that's just – I'm not
– And Ray, you don't have much concern about words landing like manhole covers.
I wouldn't blame him if the ACC decided to play football, but I think one of the reasons, above money or apart from money, that is making these three conferences say we're going to play football anyway is the feeling that they're being lectured to by the Big Ten and the Pac-12.
All right. Hold on.
That's everything that's wrong with America.
Let me finish my point. Go ahead.
Well, basically, you're the whole hey person who might know what they're doing, stop telling me what to do when I'm clearly making the wrong mistake? Like, you know, there is no moral high ground to hold on to when your whole point is, look, if football were an intramural sport that didn't make a dime, it would have been canceled 3 months ago. This is about money, period, end of story. If those over here are willing to walk away from it in the name of safety and you're willing to not walk away from it in the name of who gives a rip, you get to stand in the jackass light, man. That's the, that's what it is. The SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 are saying, are feeling that football is a war and you got to make sacrifices is a better way to approach this by looking at what scientists are saying are concerns about a disease that we are fully not understanding still 6 months into it, 5 months into it, whatever we are here. Like, I'm sorry. You know, you can't have, you know, don't tell me to not take my Confederate statue down. Don't tell me that we're not the fattest, least educated states in the union, which they all are. Don't tell me we're not a flock of Fox viewers, which they are. Don't tell me this entire region of the country has historically been slow to move off the concept of unpaid labor. I mean, there's something to the geography of this that goes a lot deeper than they care more about football down here. And it's time for a little shame. And it's amazing what a little, you know, shame on you does to people.
And I would go a step further and say guys like the president of Oregon State, who regrettably his name I do not even know, should not, ought not capitulate to these idiots by not calling them out for their idiocy in an effort to get them to behave. That's what you do for infants. These are adults with thousands of lives under their purview. To treat them like infants to try to get them to do the right thing to me is absurd.
Okay, what's the end game here? Is the end game to get the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12 see the error of its ways, or to lecture them as they march boldly into hell?
Everyone can't bend over backwards to get them to listen to reason.
This isn't a question of bending over backwards. This isn't a question.
That's exactly what it is. You're asking him to not point out obvious stupidity and ignorance of fact in an effort to get people to possibly behave better. And when in fact, it probably has no effect on it, if you're asking me what I think. But even if it does, to ask someone to essentially hold back the truth and hold back their opinion in a position where they ought to be giving it, it runs counter to everything that I think about adult behavior.
Well, it runs counter to everything I think about adult behavior, too. But this is about politics, too. And politics is not about what we believe about human behavior. It is the antithesis of it. He could say whatever he wants once the vote's in.
But politics,
we have no time.
All I'm talking about is the timing. You wait till the ACC announces whatever it's going to announce. And then you can either say, well, I'm glad to see the ACC saw reality, or you can do it now for whatever satisfaction that gets you and just say, well, we saw reality and they don't, even though they're voting now. I'm not seeing the political upside here in something that is indeed political.
But again, if we're playing politics, if we're playing politics, we got a side that doesn't even agree on what the facts are. And it's just, look, the art of diplomacy died. Don't try to revive it now, Ray. Now's the time for words that land heavy, because life and death situations are being made. There's no doubt about that. Now, this is kind of interesting. I tell you all that to tell you this. Robert C. Robbins is the president of the University of Arizona. He was part of the group that the Pac-12 came to the conclusion that we need to follow the Big Ten here and walk away from a college football season. He says in some ways he felt conflicted because he's a rabid sports fan who grew up in Mississippi, where college football is king. And in other ways, he said the decision was as clear as the southern Arizona sky. It was, quote, one of the toughest things I've ever had to do in terms of my emotions as a sports fan, but as someone who has the safety of young athletes and students as my number one overriding priority, it was actually pretty easy. Now, the sentiment among conference leaders was unanimous, especially in the light of emerging information linking COVID-19 to myocarditis, the inflammation of the heart, which several Big Ten student athletes have already been diagnosed with that position. By the way, this is from Tucson.com, written by Michael Lev, who goes on to say, you know, because a lot of people are like, well, is the president of the University of Arizona some heart surgeon? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, he
yes,
is.
As a matter of fact, he is.
He is. Robbins is a cardiac surgeon, Stanford educated, used to chair Stanford cardiology, and he's devoted much of his professional life to studying and researching cardiac disease and treatment. And even though he says he considers the chance of a major adverse event, in other words, the kid died, even though he says that's still small, just one such incident would constitute a worst-case scenario in his mind, and quote, it's just not worth it, said the guy who among college – how about this? I'm willing to bet that the ACC, the Big 12, nor the SEC has a single college president who actually in his life before he became college president was a Stanford-educated cardiologist.
That's not okay. Let me.
So
just,
should we let the stupid people conduct the conversation and set the rules?
No. What I'm saying is, if you want to stick your finger in their eye, wait till they do the stupid thing. If the ACC is on the fence about this,
I think the point is they've done the stupid thing. They've already committed the action that is being regarded as the stupid thing. So
Well, the ACC is sitting down voting now, so maybe they're not going to commit the stupid thing.
Right, but as of yesterday,
all I'm saying
when this
is
quote
it's
out,
okay once they commit the stupid thing to just say whatever you want about them. And because you've got facts on your side, I'm saying if it matters to the Pac-12 that the idea that the Power Five conferences stay together is important to them, then you don't antagonize people when they're trying to make up their mind. You antagonize them once they've done the thing that's damaged you.
That's all I'm saying. It's a funny time for you to be stumping for proper debate diplomacy, Ray. Because you,
I'm not stumping for proper debate diplomacy. I'm saying if the Pac-12 wants the ACC to not play football, and I think it's to their advantage, the ACC not play football this year.
Ray, he wasn't asked about the ACC. It was about the SEC.
Well, the point is the ACC is in play right now. The SEC is not. So it doesn't matter what the question is. It's just.
I think his point is it's obvious to him that it doesn't matter to the SEC what the disease might be. And that's the point.
And I don't see how that has any effect on the ACC's decision. If a president in the Pac-12 is asked, what do you see that the SEC doesn't see? And he says, quote, reality, probably. Okay, the ACC is going to make an announcement. If the ACC was about to announce the cancellation of football, but is going to reverse course because the Pac-12, a president in the Pac-12 said something kind of mean about the SEC, like, what are we talking about here?
Well, that's my point. That is exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about people with egos and sort of predestined ideas about what this is going to be. And there are a few guys on the fence. So why not protect the few guys on the fence?
That's all I'm saying.
I don't get it.
Okay. Let me just say this.
Let me say this, and we're going to turn our attention to the NBA because we got Howard Beck joining us at 3:45 today. We're going to talk about a very, very important day for playoff seeding in Le Bubble. So we're going to have that in just a minute here. But with all due respect to the Pac-12, with the exception of USC, Stanford for 5 minutes, and Oregon's uniforms, as a conference, you're C-minus football students. C-minus. No one really gives a rip about the Pac-12. And in terms of what matters the most, you certainly matter the least. The SEC can run all of the "it just means more down here" advertising campaigns, and the NFL draft can draft more players out of the SEC. If you think that the SEC means college football means more in Tuscaloosa than it does in Columbus, you are out of your mind. You've never been to an Ohio State game. At Ohio State, they would crucify their own mothers for a Rose Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, you have no clue as to what you're talking about. The fact that the Big Ten canceled football season renders the Pac-12's decision totally useless. If the Big Ten is deciding it's not time for college football, everyone should be following that rule. Everyone. The Big Ten leads the world of college football in dollars made, gate, attendance, interest, network revenue, network distribution. The Big Ten is so much bigger than anyone else that the fact that they're walking away still isn't enough information for the SEC to process? Get out of here. If the Big Ten punts on a football season and you don't, you better be perfect. And by the way, we talked yesterday. Just yesterday, who were we talking with yesterday? I remember it was Pat Forty. Pat Forty said, look, there are law firms thrilled that the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 has yet to come to the logical conclusion. And they're going to pounce with pitchforks. They're going to pounce. They're going to come for every single dollar Alabama football's ever made if a single kid has to have whatever.
If a single kid has anything, any single issue.
It's shocking to me. It's shocking to me. It would be like, basically what you're saying is, let's say the Lakers decided basketball is now bad. We're not playing it. That would mean something. If the Orlando Magic decided, who cares? You know what I mean? Like, the Big Ten is saying no football season. The fact that people think that they can just look beyond that is craziness. It's a level of craziness that borders on the type of negligence that lawyers make their livings on.
And my feeling is, if you're willing to ignore reality to that degree, the Orlando Magic, to your analogy, pointing out that you're ignoring reality, that's not the thing that has the impact.
I mean, unless it was like Penny Hardaway Orlando Magic, that would matter. But
if Shaq was on the Magic, it's different. Yeah.
Outside of that, look, as we said, it's a very important day for seeding in the bubble. What's going on right now? I know we got NBA games underway. Let me go ahead and open up. I got one game on here, and it's a hockey.
The Grizzlies
game.
Have beaten Phoenix the Bucks,
and Memphis beat. Yeah, Memphis won. So did Phoenix. There's a three-way tie for eighth.
All right. So here were the scenarios before the day started. The Suns needed to win, which they did, and they needed either Portland or Memphis to lose. Memphis did not lose. Portland hasn't played yet. If all that happens, Phoenix is the 8 seed. So if Portland loses tonight, Phoenix is the 8. If
the Suns,
no, they're the 8.
The Grizzlies, I believe, locked in the 8.
With the win, well, let me go with to the Grizzlies. Win. So with a win today and a Portland loss, the Grizzlies are the 8. The Grizzlies win and the Blazers win, or the Grizzlies, Spurs, and Suns all lose, they would be the 9. They get eliminated if they lose or the Suns or Spurs win. So if the Spurs still win today, I think the Grizzlies might be out. I gotta go over all this. There's a lot going on. Spurs are already eliminated. It's very simple. They lose, they go home tonight. They haven't. Well, they're
the Spurs are playing right now against
Utah. No, they're playing now. They're down 2-0. So yeah, they're eliminated.
There's a chance
the Grizzlies are in for sure.
Grizzlies are in.
Yes.
So here's the thing. I wanted Ja Morant in here more than I wanted the Suns, more than I wanted the Spurs. So I'm glad. That makes my basketball heart happy.
Can I make it easy for you guys? Let's make it real easy. The Grizzlies are in. If the Trailblazers win this afternoon, they are in. If they lose, then the Suns are in. That's it.
That's right.
The Spurs are already out.
Right. So the Suns, by winning, gave themselves a chance. The Grizzlies, by winning, I believe, have guaranteed themselves a spot
in the playoffs. If Portland wins, they'll be the 8 seed and the Grizzlies will be the 9. Is that right, Lucas? And if if Portland loses, the Grizzlies are the 8 seed and the Suns are the 9.
That is correct.
Yes. How about this, sir? One of the more fascinating things that I'm sure we're going to be talking to Howard Beck about. They basically went with all this, you know, the 8 games of let's figure it out to get pretty much the New Orleans Pelicans in there. That's what it was. They wanted Zion in there. And although Zion is a scoring revelation early in his career, he is, even in the small minutes that he's getting. Do you realize that Zion didn't have a single block nor a single steal in any game that he played in the bubble? You can talk about how good he might be over here, but if you don't talk about how incomplete that is over there, you're doing yourself a basketball disservice. That is,
I think it's actually worse than that because he's not incapable.
No,
on the defensive end.
Yeah, that's bad.
If you watched him in college, even if you watched the early in his rookie season, he's capable of being a defensive contributor. He was absent defensively in this bubble, and that's a problem. And that reflects the issue that everyone was talking about, that somehow, especially after posting all those gym selfies when we all thought he looked skinny, he came in terrible shape after whatever happened where he had to leave the bubble.
And I'm, you know, again, not a doctor, nowhere near where he is. He looked to me like he was hurt. And they were afraid to make it worse.
I mean,
and you can argue whether that's the right thing to do.
You might be right, in which case, what are you even playing?
Because he's a guy who does steal the ball, and he's the guy who does block shots.
I still don't understand why we wouldn't know, though, if that was the case.
For the same reason that we don't know very much about anything else he does. I think he keeps everything quiet, and he makes sure that his circle of people keeps it quiet. And when it comes to medical stuff, all he has to do is say, nobody gets to know anything.
I don't know if that's how that works, really. If it is, it would be the first player who's ever done that.
Let's ask Howard Beck. He joins us next here on 95.7 The Game. We'll find out straight from the horse's mouth. Also, a little bit later on today at 4:30, Ian Rappaport joins us as we get back into George Kittle's tight end record-shattering deal that he signed and agreed with the 49ers today. 5 years, $75 million deal. $18 million guaranteed at signing, $40 million guaranteed overall. Very good day to be George Kittle. Very good day to be paying attention to the NBA's bubble. And we do that next with Howard Beck. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Huge afternoon as the Niners give George Kittle the contract that's going to keep him in San Francisco for the foreseeable future. And we'll be back to that story in just a moment or two. As a matter of fact, Ian Rappaport comes up today at 4:30 for more on George Kittle. But it's time to go a bubbling with Howard Beck of the Bleacher Report. His podcast, Full 48, is always outstanding. And he's good enough to join us here, Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game. Howard, thank you very much. How are you doing today, sir?
That's good. Good afternoon.
It's an interesting day in the bubble, and I guess the lead story today is what the Spurs will not be in the postseason for the first time in 22 years. When you have a postseason run that can walk into a bar and order a drink, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, especially because I've never seen an inanimate object order a drink, so that'd be cool. sorry. What the Spurs have done over the last couple decades is incredible. I mean, it's funny because we always talk about dynasties in the NBA, and the Spurs have the weirdest and coolest dynasty of all in some ways because, you know, they spread those 5 championships out over 15 years, or, you know, more or less. That they've gone this long without missing the playoffs is astounding because obviously you've had multiple legends retire in that time too, from Robinson to, you know, Parker and Ginobili, and then eventually Duncan. And to keep manufacturing on the fly to create competitive teams, you know, even in this last couple of years here where it's been, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge as a pillar, or DeMar DeRozan and Aldridge, you know, these are not top five or top 10 type players, at least not at this stage of their career. But, you know, what Pop does year in, year out and developing young talent and just creating a system and a mindset and an approach that, that always produces great results, even when you don't have elite talent, you just don't see it very often.
Do you think this will have any impact on how long he wants to keep doing that, doing this? Or do you think he'll try to get through the Olympics and then rethink his career?
It's just so hard to know now, Ray. I mean, even in the middle of the season, it was hard to get any strong sense of, you know, people who know him, whether they thought he was going to walk away after this season. Because it already, it looked like they would might miss the playoffs even, you know, 4, 5, 6 months ago. That was in danger. And, you know, does he want to go out, you know, that way? Will he come back for one more year and try to get them back on a winning course before leaving? Like, nobody knows for sure. There was a sense among some people that, yeah, it's close, and they could see it happening. But that was at a time when they thought, well, he'll transition to the Olympics. He'll play, he'll coach his last Spurs game, go do the Olympics in what would have been in July, and then that's the transition. Well, we don't even know if the Olympics are going to be held in 2021. So if Pop still has some coaching left in him and he thinks there's more certainty about next NBA season, which, by the way, no certainty at all, but if he thinks that that's a better bet than the Olympics, especially, you know, then maybe he would do that. The one thing I don't buy is the Pop to the Nets rumors. It's a fun one to speculate on, especially for people here in Brooklyn. And there's a tie, an obvious tie, because Sean Marks, the Nets GM, was a Pop disciple and worked in that front office. But the understanding I have from people, and look, nobody knows for sure, but the understanding I have from people is that if Pop is going to coach again in the NBA, it's with the Spurs. If he's not coaching the Spurs, he's not coaching at all except for Team USA.
Howard Beck.
So wait a minute. I just want to ask a quick follow-up. Pop wouldn't coach Kyrie Irving?
I don't think it's about that. I think it's more just the idea.
I don't think it is.
Yeah, just if he's done with the NBA, then he's done.
Good thing we got that in. Howard Beck of Bleacher Report is our guest. And let's just assume for the sake of argument that Portland gets not only their win today, but gets through Memphis and becomes the official 8 seed. I think we all agree they are an interesting challenge for the Lakers, but do you believe they actually have a chance to beat the Lakers?
They do. They absolutely do. This is one of those cases where I'm not going to go out on some crazy limb and say, yeah, that this is going to be one of the rare 8-versus-1 upsets in NBA history, because they don't happen that often. But this is not a real 8th seed. Like, the Portland Trailblazers, who have been playing over the last week, were not the Portland Trailblazers we saw from December through March 11th, because they didn't have Yusuf Nurkic for any of it. They didn't have Zach Collins for most of it, and they didn't have Carmelo for all that either, and they didn't have this version of Carmelo, who came back even skinnier and looking like he's in better, you know, more ready to play now than he was in the last 3 or 4 years. It's a different Portland team. I mean, look, you guys remember well, the Blazers were in the conference finals against the Warriors last year, and they got smoked. And they were, I think, an uncommonly weak conference finalist, but now they're an uncommonly strong 8th seed if they make it. And Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum are one of the best backcourts in the NBA. Lillard's one of the best players in the NBA, period. But that, they're strong at the exact place where the Lakers are weak. The Laker backcourt is not good. And missing Avery Bradley suddenly looks a lot more concerning. And Rondo just got to the bubble. We'll see what kind of shape he's in. But, you know, he's well past his prime anyway. The Laker guard corps is not suited to deal with McCollum and Lillard. Now, the flip side of that, of course, is, okay, but the Blazers have to deal with LeBron, and they have no real wing defenders to throw at him. Good luck, Carmelo Anthony, defending your old friend. Nor do they have the guys to stop Anthony Davis. Although on that one, listen, between Nurkic and Collins and Whiteside, they've got bodies. You know, Anthony Davis is great and no one's going to stop him, just like no one stops LeBron. But the Blazers have some size and more size, you know, quality size, I think, than most opponents that the Lakers could face. And the Lakers haven't looked that great in the bubble. So, and their supporting cast around LeBron and AD is kind of so-so. So, you know, look, at a minimum, it'll be a really fun series. And by the way, last thing I should have noted right off the top, there's no home court advantage. So, you know, the reason that ones always beat eights, part of it's talent, and part of it is that if you do manage to push them to the limit, that game seven is in hostile territory. Well, it won't be.
Howard, you know, there are injuries that you hear about. There's ones that you know instantly. Just gloss over that. And then you hear CJ McCollum's got a fracture in his lower back. And it feels like people are like poo-pooing that as no big deal, you know. Plantar fasciitis. So we'll see him next game. I mean, that feels, sounds bigger than it really is, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, when the word came out, when it was reported the other day, that I think kind of caused everybody to kind of gag for, like, you don't get to have this go sometimes. Like, there's, you know, a micro fracture of some kind or a small fracture or something that might cause you some pain but is not actually debilitating and does not require time away. This is obviously not something he's going to rehab from. It's just, he just has to you know, rest and let it heal. But if he's been playing through it this whole time, okay, maybe it's been a little bit limiting. Maybe it accounts for some of his struggles at times, but clearly it's not stopping him from playing. I, you know, if it were that concerning, I don't think they'd be letting him play.
It's going to be an interesting matchup. If that is the one versus the eight, the Lakers have the worst 3-point field goal percentages, and I believe they're the lowest scoring team in the bubble. Howard, one more injury question, maybe about an injury we never really heard about. Do you think Zion has actually been healthy down there? Because the scoring is where it needs to be, but the minutes weren't. And today, learning that he didn't have a single steal nor a single block is a little concerning, is it not?
No, I'm not concerned about anything that happened with Zion in the bubble. I mean, listen, he had some family emergency, personal things he had to attend to, so he left the bubble. He comes back. This is a guy who missed most of the season and had concerns even coming into the league about his body. So, I mean, in the context of all that, if you want to say, well, there are concerns, okay, yeah, fine, yes. And broadly, there have been ever since he got to the NBA. But this is so much more about, to me, the fact that he could not get in – to basketball shape with his team because he had to leave the bubble. He comes back. All of a sudden, you know, you're right into games. You don't want to mess with the guy, you know, his long-term health by overdoing it, by risking too much. They knew they were, a long shot to make the playoffs anyway, so you're not going to push it. You know, maybe they saw some small warning sign, not necessarily an injury, but just conditioning or whatever that said, you know what, this is not the time and the place for us to press our luck and run him out long minutes or ask too much of him. So, you know, everybody's going to have a nice long off season now. The teams that are leaving in the next 24 hours or 48 hours. And, you know, we'll see what Zion looks like when he comes back next season, whenever that is.
I want to ask a Zion related question, but it's not really an on the court thing. Given that the NBA was sort of pot committed to the notion that they should do everything possible to figure out a way to get him at least into the playoff game, if not the playoffs, without question. Which of Ja Morant, Devin Booker, or Damian Lillard do you think the league's TV people would like to see make a run and become sort of an alternative to Zion if he's not the guy they can sell?
Well, I disagree with the whole notion that they set this all up to get Zion in. It's not like the cutoff point to make the bubble was the Pelicans' record. There were records that were worse than theirs, teams that were worse than them who got in. They needed a certain number of teams to create a simulated, you know, end of season, basically, these eight seeding games. And they needed teams to do that, and they were trying to include as many teams as they could anyway because that meant more TV games, which means more money. And, yeah, I mean, Zion was in because of that, and sure, I have no doubt in my mind that anybody would want him in. I don't think this was manipulated to try to get him in. I think I know everybody loves that theory. But now that he's out, what's the best ratings gambit? I mean, it's Damian Lillard for sure. You know, I mean, Portland's a small market, but, you know, so is Memphis. The Suns, you know, Phoenix is a larger market, but not exactly a thriving one for the NBA. And Devin Booker's really exciting too, and that could be fun. But man, Lillard's a MVP candidate, not for the top of the ballot, but he's a guy who'll be on a bunch of ballots, including mine. And you want star power, and you want known star power. Like, there are still casual fans who don't know much about Ja Morant, maybe. Booker's carved out a nice, young career so far, but he's not the same star power as Dame Lillard, who has, all these legendary shots and who, got commercials and everything else. I think, and besides that, the Blazers, as I say, I think have a real shot to push the Lakers to the limit. And so you want the best series too.
Speaking of one seeds getting pushed to the limit, I think it's safe to say Milwaukee won't have any trouble in the first round, but boy, the Heat look like trouble to me. Where do you think Milwaukee gets vulnerable in the Eastern Conference?
Probably by the second round. The East is, the 1-8 and the 2-7 in the East is going to be dreadful. Those cannot end fast enough. But I'm not one who thinks that the Bucks, just based on their record, which makes it look like they're way ahead of their rivals, I don't think the gap is as big as the record implies. I think, you mentioned the Heat. The Heat and the Raptors both, they're such pesky defenses, and they're just built in a way where they have the defensive versatility to switch assignments and fluster guys and stay in front of them. I think Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo as two guys to, alternate and switch on Giannis is valuable. It's incredibly valuable. The Heat's offense, I think is a little bit less reliable, but I think Miami's got a shot. But Toronto and Boston are the two teams that I think have the best, most legitimate chance to knock off Milwaukee if somebody's going to. And I do think that the Bucks, as reliant on Giannis as they are, as much as teams will scheme specifically to stop him and force it to be Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe and the Lopez brothers and whoever else the Bucks might throw out there, like I think that there's a path there for one of those teams potentially. Again, not predicting the upset, but I think that the Bucks are not a lock by any stretch.
He's the host of the Full 48 podcast, Bleacher Report's Howard Beck, with us here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. By the way, welcome everyone to your 4 o'clock hour.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.